WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of these fantastic Baltimore Positive chats brought to you by so many sponsors. I was down at Fadley's, where I invited through up to the land of Kush. I've been out over to Costas. I've been all around the Beltway State Fair. We were at El Guapo. My wife and I snuck in there for a little carne asada last week. It was fantastic. All courtesy of this guy. Don Moeller is here. It's been too long. You and I, when we spend like 2 weeks apart, it's like brothers that haven't fought.
Well, we're going to keep on keeping on. There's a lot to talk about in the recon. And you've been busy. You know, before we even get into all of the serious stuff in the news and very often the depressing stuff in the news, you visited a place this week. I remind folks that as we hit summer, the crab cake tour is underway. There'll be a little bit of brewery tour mixed in with all of that. But over the past year or so, you and I kept running into people, friends of ours, who were either vegetarians or were shellfish allergies, you name it. And they kept saying, man, I want to have a vegan crab cake. And son of a gun, you found a vegan crab cake. I need a report. I need a full report on the vegan crab cake.
So there's a couple things at play here, right? And it really turned out to be, so I told my wife this story this morning, so I'll put it together for you. So I think the original person was Odette Ramos and her husband, John Spurrier, who I've known for 30 years. John used to be the DJ at the Baltimore Blast games at the Royal Farms Arena, right? So Odette told me, and then I think Theroux mentioned they have a he said he was vegan because he comes down to Fadley's and he doesn't eat the food, right? So he has said, yeah, I'm vegan, but there's a great place. They have a vegan crab. I think he may have said it on the air, you know, because we talk about you get people talking about crab cakes. Before I even thought of the tour, we started talking about, hey, where's your crab cake or this or that, right? And Brandon's yelling about Coco's when we're standing in Fadley's, right? So I heard about it, but it was Brooke Learman. Her folks said, hey, we want to do the show. You should do the vegan crab cake over there. I thought she was vegan. She's not vegan. She's pescatarian. So she does eat crab meat, and she loves the Fadley's crab cake, by the way. So it's because of her that I sort of called. She doesn't even know them. It turns out that Nadja, who one of the owners, and Greg, her husband, does things for her daughter's school. And that's how she knows of the land of Kush. She had never met them. She's on the campaign trail. So it turned out to just be this wonderful thing we did on Wednesday downtown. My new intern, Chloe, shout out to Chloe. She's going to be rocking all summer with us, helping us out with all this. But We gave away lottery tickets. We met people. Listeners stopped in. Susan stopped in. And I thought she stopped in to see me. She's like, no, I'm a customer here, man. I come in all the time. And then I remembered, oh, you're here today. So anyway, and then I learned about Stevie Wonder eating there and loving it and being vegan. And so just wonderful people. It was a wonderful afternoon. Kirby Fowler pinch hit for Odette, who couldn't make it. And Odette's going to come next week. We're at Black Swan. I think Jamil McLean's going to stop down as well because he's involved there as well. That's another minority-owned business we're going to be featuring. That's next week down in Harbor East. We're also going to be out to honor the racetrack and all things racing. We're going to be at the OTB at Nick's Grandstand Grill up in Timonium on Friday. So I ate the vegan crab cake. I brought home vegan mac and cheese that's like a nut-based thing that was delicious. The spinach and kale were like the best I've had. It was sort of an Asian spinach, like almost a Japanese wasabi kind of spinach. Delicious. It was all delicious. The conversation was unbelievable. Theroux came by, did his thing. He's running for office. Brooke's running for office. By the way, I pretended you were there, and I hope you're not offended. But like at the end, I said, if Moeller were here right now, he would endorse you and say, she's the one, and do it. So I did all that.
There you go.
Like all of the plot. Anyway, Don's here. I had a little feedback issue there. I'll edit that out. Don, it was beautiful. So we had a beautiful Wednesday. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at Goodwill and at Window Nation, because they're on board and they're going to be coming on talking about what they do as well, because they want to support those conversations.
Well, for our loyal listeners, describe, because you're good at, because you were very good at describing food. I say you're sort of a Guy Fieri wannabe, you know, you're good at describing food. Describe a vegan crab cake.
I would describe it as very, and I did this on the air. I ate it with Brooke. And, you know, as it turns out, like, it looks like a crab cake. It smells like a crab cake. It tastes like my mom's crab cake. And I said this with love. I said, look, this does not taste like a back fin claw, the feel of the meat. It tastes more like what I grew up in Dundalk with, which is more like the special meat. Sure. And a lot of seasoning involved in it. But here's the special thing they do there. I'll give you, this is the special sauce because it is a special sauce. They do a yum yum sauce. They do this, and it looks a little like remoulade more than yum yum, but I brought it home and my wife ate it. She's like, whoa, it's got a kick. And it does have a little kick to it, but a good kick, kind of an almost an Asian kick more than a cayenne kick, more like a red pepper, less like a jalapeno, but more like a an Asian pepper. I don't know what else to say. But either way, delicious, phenomenal, great experience, great people. Exactly what I wanted to do 3 years ago when I put this thing together with you, when we gathered over Pizza John's with Dutch. I said to my wife, going to meet nice people, have good experiences, bring cool people together. And as it turns out, I bring Kirby Fowler in because it's my wife's 50th birthday next week. And her sister's coming in, and they love animals. Her sister loves the hippopotamus in Cincinnati, but is settling for the rhinoceroses in the Maryland Zoo, and has bought the big exploratory package on the Saturday morning of Brew at the Zoo, which, by the way, involves beer, which I like, and you like, and your brother likes, and everybody should like.
One of Kevin Kamenetz's favorite events.
Okay, so Kirby Fowler comes down and messes all his notes up, calls it the Super Soaker when it's a Super Sipper, and we're having a laugh, and we're having a good time. Brought to you by M&T Bank. So there you go. So there was a shout out to Augie Chisera too. So all the way around, it's like sort of community and people and things and beer and animals and vegetarians and people. So it was good. It's been a good week here. It's been exactly what we want to do. I got some golf in here. You know what I haven't really done? Very little Ravens, and they have a massive press conference, and I don't even want to speculate in any way in this segment as to what it is or isn't, because I don't know. And the Adley Rutschman thing, and it's amazing that I haven't thought about it or talked about either one, the Yankees, Aaron Judge, off the wall, that I haven't done much of that. I've been doing a lot of Preakness, and I did a little golf, but more than that, I'm waiting on all of that, and that'll be fun. But the Preakness has been really, for me this week, front and center, because I don't want to let it not be. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to just skip it because the Kentucky Derby winner skipped it. Because we can't have people skipping the Preakness.
It's hard to be, right, more Baltimorean than the Preakness. You know, you mentioned, Nestor, our journey of well more than 3 years now, and our friends of the show and all the people that we've connected with. We would be remiss if we did not send out our best to our good friend, Senator Chris Van Hollen, who is a regular visitor to Baltimore Positive, who's recovering from a mild stroke, supposedly going to be back in the Senate very, very soon. But from all of us here at Baltimore Positive, Senator Van Hollen, get well soon. Get well soon, because he's one of the really.
I appreciate you mentioning that, because I had not mentioned that this week. And health is everything. And we've had an internal issue on our side of the fence too, in the WNST family, where this week has been there've been some medical issues off the field, and we've been trying to take good care of people. So always health first. So yes,
absolutely, absolutely. Hey, before we get and there's no way we're not going to start in our limited time here today with the Buffalo shooting, and we'll touch a little bit on recent election happenings. But you've covered sports. I know you say you don't have a clue. I'm going to ask you a question about the Ravens press conference, which will have happened by the time this airs.
I hope they let me in.
You've been around this a long time. Here's one of my assumptions, and tell me if I'm right or wrong. For those people thinking it's to announce a Lamar extension, I'm saying no way, because that would have leaked, right? You couldn't keep something.
No. I disagree with that, because it's too small a circle. That's why I don't want to speculate as to what it is, because it's not what I do. When I sat on live radio, we sat there all day and out on the internet. It's just not the way I want it.
Well, I'm going to put
I know what I know. And you know what? I respect John and Eric enough that I'm not even bothering them. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not what I don't need to break that story at 1:30, whatever it is. And it's fine. I mean, I don't know. It's just not what I do right now in my life. I sat on that toilet for 25 years waiting for that call and looking out the window and waiting for the next piece of news. But if you're asking me if it's possible that they could sit on it, they sat on it with Hollywood Brown.
Well, that's true. That's actually, Nestor, that is, as you always do, that is a very, very good point, because I would have told you that kind of story would have leaked as well. You're not going to predict. I told someone I would put my money, because I think they have a lot of respect for him, that they're going to have a very special announcement about Sam Cooke retiring and that he will be going in the Ring of Honor. That's my call.
Wow. You got insight on that?
No. That's just, I don't. I haven't spoken to any of our good buddies out at the castle. Like you, I thought about it, but I thought, I'm not bothering our friends out there. So I'll tell you, that's my prediction. Sam Cooke retirement and announce the game that he'll be inducted into the Ring of Honor. I think it's silly when people have a discussion about whether or not he's a Ring of Honor guy. My Lord, but the most games of any Raven ever, that in itself is get you into the Ring of Honor and multiple Pro Bowls.
I would never argue anything against Sam Cooke. And that's, you know, I could text Sam right now and find out if that's true.
he's not taking any calls either.
And by the way, if it is true, my Coons shirt here, it's for Nebraska, the red and white for him. Sam's, you know, Sam's one of the really good people that have ever worked in that building, in my opinion. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I love Sam.
Nestor, I looked back. We first started to talk about guns almost from Jump Street. Almost from when the show began in 2019. And you are exhausted. I am exhausted. We're both outraged. And once again, not long ago, we wake up to an 18-year-old in Buffalo in a Topps grocery store killing 10 people with a variety of weaponry, including body armor. And I looked back at the statistics that you and I have shouted from the rooftop. We are 4% of the world's population, and we have 40% of the guns. That there are 393 million guns in the United States of America.
How many people are there?
We have 300 million. Well, to answer that, here's the answer that you're looking for. We have 120 guns, Nestor, for every 100.
We have 329.5 million people, according to Google.
Yeah. And we have almost 400 million guns. We have 120 firearms for every 100 people in the United
Everything States. About our society glorifies it, Don.
Everything glorifies it.
From the beginning, where we're watching movies and Bang Bang and Westerns, straight on through to Dirty Harry and The Godfather, straight on through to Scarface. Television. It's just that we have a very, very perverse association with violence and acceptance of violence here that's just not tolerated in the civilized world. I don't know what else to say. I've spent time in Australia. I've spent time in Asia.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And there is a glimmer. It's not very bright. It's not very bright. But there is a glimmer of hope in that in 1978, not that long ago, 1978, 51% of Americans owned a firearm. Today, that number is down to 22%. That's a pretty dramatic shift, right, in 40 or so years. 40% of Americans, however, still live in a household where there's a gun. So I think the exhaustion factor for me, Nestor, sets in this way. Even if tomorrow, which will not happen, if the Republican Party tomorrow would say, well, let's at least pass the simple stuff, right?
A sanity check.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly right. Background check, close the gun show loophole.
How about 18-year-olds? Don, I said to my wife when this went down, and
every gun was legal. By the way, Nestor, I want you to continue that thought. This 18-year-old, everything he had was legally purchased.
I told my wife when this happened, because first off, it hit home with me because I have a story for you about how it's affected me, us, you, the Crab Cake Tour locally, the violence that's going on here. We don't need to go to Buffalo, but the Buffalo thing, certainly all elements of the racial hatred, all elements of Tucker Carlson, all the things that we sit here and the cognitive dissonance on the other side of what they think they want with everybody with guns and what television, what they do on Fox News every night. But I said to my wife, and you know, come on, man, you were camp counselor for me as I was a kid. I was 15, 16, 17 years old. There was fights all the time. There was violence. There were violent people. There were kids who failed. There were kids whose families failed them. There were troubled children. There was all that going on in Dundalk High School in 1982 when I met you, when I was a little Ovaltine, you know. And if every one of us would have had the problem at that point, we were worried about going to war. Our big brothers had gone to Vietnam, like all of that kind of stuff. But if someone would have come and said at 18, we're going to hand everybody body armor and the ability to go buy war weaponry in 1985, I think to myself, I knew the kids in Dundalk. I knew the violent kids. I knew the kids who had BB guns and shot squirrels and birds out their back door because they like to kill things. Just, you know, I mean, I ran the gamut and all that. And I'm just thinking, if every Dundalk high school had 18-year-olds where 30% of the population had weaponry, I'm thinking we would have no society. And I think back to being that age and how many enraged 17-year-olds I knew who had all sorts of hormonal, financial, educational needs in all sorts of ways. And we all did sort of bad things in one way or another, guilty as charged, that if we all had machine guns over girlfriends and fights. Don, last week, you know, I'm trying to put together the Crab Cake Tour, right? And you know, I would love to find minority places, and I've identified places around town that have a nice crab cake, would be a great host for what we're trying to do with the Maryland Lottery and Goodwill. And I told this story yesterday as well, but I want to tell it again because my favorite place living downtown, when I lived downtown, I discovered a place on South Charles Street has the best mac and cheese I've ever had. It's six blocks from my house. I would go there whenever I wanted mac and cheese, which wasn't too often because it's not low fat, bro, but it's delicious mac and cheese. And I've met the staff that works there, and I've ordered the mac and cheese, fried chicken. I've ordered, they have turkey necks, the legs. Great food, but always the mac and cheese, always bring it home. My wife's always like, oh my God, that's good, but I don't want to know what's in it. And she has a crab cake. And when I began this thing a year and a half ago, I was like, you know what? We're going to take the crab cake tour over to her place. I called her 2 weeks ago. Like I called a dozen places to set up. We're at Black Swan next week. We're doing Nick's next Friday, as I had promoted. And her name is Fatima. And I've met her and I've met her son. And last Wednesday, I looked down on my phone on Justin Fenton, another alum here, had a tweet up, shooting 1:30 in the afternoon in Sweet Peas, the place I've been going forever, broad daylight, middle of the day, place I could have been in doing the crab cake tour that day. So, you know, I've read up on it a little bit, Eric Costello, you know, who was here a couple weeks ago, but this happened three blocks from where I used to live, in a place that I frequented. I can tell you what the bathroom looks like. I can tell you what the tables look like. I can tell you what people that work in there look like. I can tell you how good the food looks in the window. I can tell you how good the mac and cheese is because I've had it 15 times. And this was a target place for me to do the crab cake tour to help promote her business. And her boy gets shot in the front window. I see it on the internet. I, you know, I mean,
no, it's Nestor. I've said over and over, all of these regulations, these laws that we can't even get past, it's the right thing to do, but it will not make a dent in the issue. It just won't. And we're kidding ourselves if we think it will. Should we pass that regulation? Of course. We should certainly ban assault weapons.
So you aren't so ultra liberal that the guy in Middle River who sees me out at a bar and yells at me about things we say one way or another, or the girl in this particular case last week in Middle River, you don't think the law solves the problem, right?
Like, I do not. I think the only way to solve the problem, which in my lifetime it won't happen, perhaps.
Well, I think you might live another 20, 30, 40 years. I don't know.
If I live 20 or 30, this is still what I'm about to talk about. Won't happen. When they're bringing me oatmeal in the home, this still will not have happened. And that is, as you know, if I were king and they say, if you could have one wish, what would that one wish be? I would tomorrow wake up in a country where we confiscated every gun. And if you wanted to be a hunter, you may have that gun registered and stored at a secure facility where you went and signed it out for the hunting trip and then returned it. That, to me, makes for a sane society. It will never happen. Therefore, we do at least need to be bold enough to do some things that make... We had an assault weapons ban. It worked. It worked. All of the data shows...
Why does an 18-year-old kid need that? I mean, correct. Put yourself in your 18-year-old mind, not your Republican mind or your Trump mind or your Biden mind or anything. Think back to why an 18-year-old, and they completely treated that kid out in Wisconsin like a hero.
That's the thing, Nestor. Had that young man, and again, I know people are turning us off in their car right now because they hate it when you and I do this, and they're just going to have to get used to it, is had that young man been an African-American, he would have been dead on the site. I mean, let's not even debate it. Instead, we were polite. We were courteous. We dealt with him. Listen, as a number of folks have pointed out to me, they say, remember, Kyle Rittenhouse was invited to Mar-a-Lago as a conquering hero. So all of this is connected. We are talking about a Republican Party in which members of Congress this week tied themselves in knots, trying not to say that white supremacy and replacement theory were a cancer on this society. Now, the thought that at this point in time, that you can't, as a political party, condemn a Tucker Carlson, condemn the rhetoric of a Donald Trump, and say, you're damn right, white supremacy is to blame, replacement theory is insidious, and we need to rid our nation of that. If you can't do that as a nation,
For the betterment of all of us.
We have big problems. Now, we have a big, big day coming up today on Baltimore Positive. You know what? This may work out okay because we didn't even get to elections. But next week when we talk, we will also have Georgia. So we'll talk about Madison Cawthorn. We'll talk about Pennsylvania and the craziness going on up there. We'll talk about the unique candidate. And I can't wait, Nestor. Make sure you mark it because you and I went back and back real quick before we get out of here. Folks will know who've listened. I used to joke that if you had run for mayor, we were going to take you to Joe Bank, get you the blue suit, the nice white shirt, and the quality tie, get your hair cut. And you said, there is no way I'm doing that. That's not. And I said, well, then you can't win. Well, we've got John Fetterman in gym shorts and a hoodie, and he won an overwhelming vote. So we're
does he have a Fu Manchu or a goatee, any facial hair? Or
he's
you
got
know?
A little hair. So maybe John Fetterman was a maybe Nestor was ahead.
You know what's crazy, dude? As I walk around the city now, people do now think I might run for elected office or something. You know, like there is now when people come up to me, they're like, are you doing this? No, I'm like, not really at this point. I'm like, really, I want to tip my cap. Can I say something nice about you? Am I allowed to do that? Now, remember this when you get pissed at me and we talk about the Orioles or something, okay? Or you get mad, okay? But I'd say this. I say to people now, I said this to Theroux after we get off the air. I said, you know what? Mueller told me that I could do more good doing this than doing that. And I'd be more effective doing this than doing that. So I would say when people ask me now, I say, you know, Mueller told me in the beginning, Mueller hated the thought that I would ever run for public office, like never endorsed it, hated it, ran from the opposite of Wes Moore and Brooke Learman for you, like for me as a candidate. But
and Katie Curran O'Malley.
Oh, okay. You're all in for Katie too. That's right. Anybody else?
Those of course,
it's
Johnny.
A recon. This is your chance to endorse.
Well, sure, Johnny O. I'm that's why I don't have time to do this anymore. I'm working hard for Johnny O. I'm working hard for Pat Young over here in the first district. So we've got. But you're right. Being a thought leader was a great role. But I did have to think. I see Fetterman in those gym shorts and that hoodie.
You think I still have a shot? You know what? If Ted was here right now, because Ted's always here, like sort of on my shoulder in some sort of weird. I hear his voice in a weird way. I hear him say, 10 years from now, if you got the energy for it, you know, you'll do it. That's what he would say to me. That's what he would say to me. And you know what? You'll do it. You'll do it. You'll think about it. Don't count it out. Don't write it off. You never
that
know.
Is a good Ted. Well, maybe next week. First of all, we're going to take a deep dive into Baltimore County State's Attorney's race today with Robbie Leonard and current State's Attorney Scott Schellenberger. And I know you've been waiting for this one, folks. You wanted it. You asked for it. The executive producer of We Own This City, the executive producer.
This is a bucket list interview for me. You know that, right?
David Simon.
I'm being serious. Like, I've always wanted Simon on. I could never talk him in. I run into him downtown. I saw him a couple months ago. Like, you're a magician. Next thing, listen, I'm going to give you some homework. You ready? You ready?
You want John Waters.
I want John Waters. I want you. You're damn right I do.
All right. I'm working. That's going to be my new role as of June 1 when I become. I'm going to become this, you know, sort of like, what do they call it? Professor Emeritus June 1. And I'll work on John Waters.
I was out in Oakland, California in this Japanese bistro getting food last Friday before Pearl Jam. And they had John Waters posters all over the wall. John Waters goes out and does a thing in Oakland, California every year for these people. And they call him the King of Filth. It says so right there, right on the wall.
There you go.
And I'm like, they get him in Oakland at a Japanese deli, and I can't get him on the show for 20 minutes. I mean, I'm not rating around here, you know.
We got David for 30 minutes today. We got Robbie Leonard for about 20, and Scott Schellenberger for 20. So it's a big day in Baltimore Positive. When we come back next week, maybe it's Adley Rushman time.
That's here he goes. Here he goes. Hitting him off the wall. He is Don Mueller. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We call that the recon. We call this BaltimorePositive.com.